Welcome to Advanced Living Radio. This is your host, Kenneth Lesser, and I am thrilled and delighted to be with you today. Another opportunity to shine some light of good information as well as powerful technologies to make your lives even more glorious, or sometimes if we're a little bit on the low end of the cycles and the ebb and flow of life, this can be information that can lift a person out of some of the toughest times and bring them back into a place of stability and growth and just wondrous fulfillment of their potential. My host today is Dr. Karen Weiser, who has studied a lot in natural health and nursing, went to chiropractic school, became a doctor of chiropractic, which to me is one of the finest studies that a person can have for well-rounded background on how the body functions and what to do to help it to work. And she's gone on from that and has become highly recognized for her groundbreaking work in the field of mental conditioning and how personal habits, fears, coding, and such can keep us from realizing our dreams. And Karen is one of today's leading authorities on the subject of thought and how to use it to our advantage. She has sourced and refined the powerful process that she calls consciousness shifting, helping thousands of clients to remove the coding and barriers that separate them from living the lives they were meant to live. The result? People having a sense of joy, peace, and purpose that leads to fulfillment and achievement. Yes. Oh, what a blessing. Karen regularly shares her knowledge and expertise with audiences throughout the United States and abroad. She's an internationally known speaker, coach, facilitator, mentor, and authors whose views on thought and on the thought process are in high demand. So we're lucky to have her here with us today. She is passionate about guiding others in the life alignment process. Karen's speaking style is engaging and enlightening. Now, in 2004, she founded the Rocket Coaching Group and got a sense of humor. It's spelled R-O-C-K-I-T. Like Rocket Roll, Rocket Coaching Group as a vehicle to support others who want to learn the Rocket Method of consciousness shifting process and to facilitate connection and community for those who want to experience this consciousness shifting. So she and her life guides, who have been trained in this Rocket Method, have worked with thousands of individuals worldwide. To learn about that, you can go to rockit.com and see her rocketcoaching.com, rockitcoaching.com, or her website, Karen, K-A-R-E-N-V-I-Z-E-R, for another look at this work that she's doing. And she's the author of this wonderful book, Rocket Your Life, Reaching the Next Dimension of Your Spiritual Journey, and has authored a chapter in the book, Success and Happiness, a collection of success essays by various authors. Her books are available trade paperbacks and download files when you go to www.rocket, Your Life, RockitYourLife.com. Today I am pleased to welcome you, Karen. Come on board and help us learn to make our lives better.
Oh, thank you, Ken. I am so delighted to be here. It just is a wonderful opportunity, and any opportunity I have to speak and share the knowledge that I've gleaned from this thing we call life, I'm just so thrilled to be able to do that.
Oh, great. Well, now, you've got a fabulous book that I was noticing for our listeners who've gotten to to see or read about this movie or the book called The Secret. Joe Vitale, who's one of the stars in that movie, he's been a personal client of yours, and I see on your website that he wrote a nice thank you, saying that since his session, he's been feeling great, that there's a spring in his step, and he feels clearer and stronger. It goes on to say you do good work and thanks you for the session, saying that it clearly helped. So I'm excited to know more. What's inspired you to write your book?
Well, you know, I've always had a fascination, Ken, with why people do what they do and why they don't do what they say they want to do.
Mm.
And I was blessed early on in my coaching career by making contact with Thomas Leonard, who became one of my mentors, and he's considered by many to be the father of the modern-day coaching movement. And Thomas's view was that most people keep adding, adding, adding. We keep saying, there's something more I need, if only this, that. And we keep adding, 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 and thinking there's something else we have to do. And what that does is that just creates more distance between what we really want, what we really desire, which is connection and love and peace and joy. So I was blessed to be part of a program that Thomas created several years ago that was called, before his death, and it was called The Absence of You. And I thought it was a great name, and the minute I saw it, I signed up. I was one of the first people to sign up for it. And it was all about looking at your life and taking away those things that didn't serve your highest and best good, those things that kept you from being the best you could be. And I knew that people, that there was programming and conditioning, but I didn't really get that there was a way to change that. And because we've been coded, and we're coded in many different ways over our lifetime. And I would see, have you ever seen people in a reactive pattern where, and they're going, I don't want to do that anymore, but they just keep doing it, right?
Stuck just run in a rut, going in circles, a number of ways of describing it, and all of them are in some form of pain.
Yeah, and totally unnecessary, but we in our culture and society are clueless about how to get rid of them because we are so filled with the rules of engagement, if you will, how you have to be in the world. And so I started studying this, and I was then had a second reason, if you will, a real big reason. In December of 2002, my husband passed away, and he had been sick for a very brief period of time, and when he passed, one of the things we talked about before he passed was that we had a reactive posture together, and he had been struggling with this need to be perfect for all of his life, which he got from his mother. And then, of course, our cultural coding in America is that perfect isn't possible. So if you juxtapose the need to be perfect with the idea that perfect isn't possible, and you actually have resonance in your body with this. And this is an important distinction. It's not what you think, but it's what is that programming that your body's holding, because every experience we've ever had in our lifetime lives as an energy pattern in our body, including the societal and educational and religious and parental programming.
Mm. So something like a philosophy that says that there's original sin and we were born sinners, is that one of those kind of societal or cultural things?
Well, absolutely. It's part of the religious programming that something is fundamentally wrong with us. Well, the thing that's fundamentally wrong with us is we keep looking for something outside of us to make us whole, and we are already whole.
Ah.
And what I learned through this process was that awareness always precedes change. And many of these patterns, if you will, much of this cultural coding can be shifted when you know it's there. So the book Rocket Your Life is really about the kinds of things that you can become aware of in your life that just by making a little change, changing your mind, can make all the difference.
Wow. Now that's exciting. Now, you make mention of a couple of different terms, coding and conditioning. And I'm just wondering, is there a difference between coding and conditioning?
Fundamentally, in terms of how it affects us in our lives, I would say no. But the source of it is different.
Ah.
And so, to me, conditioning comes from what we did to be safe in the world. So if we were young and we felt that the world was fundamentally not a safe place, and that's what our parents modeled for us, and we didn't live in an environment that encouraged us to be self-expressive, then that's kind of your conditioning, right?
You mean just, children should actually be seen and heard?
Exactly.
Who
exactly.
Knew?
And the coding is a little different. There is actually a book written by a man, and I always mispronounce his name because it's French, but it's Clotaire Rappel, I believe is his last name. He is a cultural anthropologist, and he wrote a book called The Culture Code. And he actually talks about how in our culture we are also coded, programmed, if you will, to purchase, to buy, to make decisions, to make choices. And an example of the coding in America for a car, for example, is our identity. So he does a lot of work with Fortune 500 companies, finding out what the reptilian brain thinks about everything. He doesn't really care what we think about intellectually. He cares about what the reptilian brain thinks. And this is the brain, the first brain that comes into function when we're children, and it's usually between the ages of 0 to about 3.5 that this is the predominant mechanism, and this is all about survival.
Oh.
And so when he can tap into that, he knows how to pitch a product to the public.
Wow. Wow. So that's how powerful advertising has gotten people to do a lot of things, tobacco, different habits, foods, things that aren't in their best interest for their health, but people are running out craving it and doing that stuff.
Right, and it's basically, again, everything is based on the idea that there's something you need to be whole. There's something you need. If I have this, then I'll have that, and I'll be that. And it's a backwards kind of philosophy. What I say to my clients is, what is your desired end result? What do you really want? And it's an interesting conversation because I think a lot of people don't think in terms of what they want. They don't think in terms of what is possible. They think in terms of what they don't want.
Ah.
Well, if you think about The Secret and Law
sure.
of Attraction, you're going to attract what you're thinking about. So if you're thinking about what you don't want, you're going to get more of what you don't want.
Exactly. So if a person's focusing on their pain or their difficulties or challenges, then abracadabra, more of that's going to be showing up.
Exactly.
Ooh, well, we can't keep doing that. That hurts, I can tell you from personal experience.
Uh-huh. I think we've all been there, haven't we?
Yes. Yes. Welcome to planet Earth. And so help a little bit. I know in your book you mentioned, for instance, resonance. We're looking for ways to be able to shift things. How does resonance tie in with that?
Well, resonance is what the body agrees to. And I don't know if you've ever had the experience where someone has been telling you something, but it just doesn't ring true.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a disconnect between what your experience from that person and what that person is telling you. Well, what I would say is going on there is that in that person's mind, they're believing what they're telling you, but their body isn't, and you're picking up the energy of the body's disagreement. So if I live in a household with parents whose viewpoint is there is never enough and you have to work hard and you better get a college degree because if you don't, you're going to end up working at McDonald's, I may unconsciously agree to that because that's the environment I'm living in and that's what's modeled. And we, you know, we look to our parents for our guidance and growth and how to be in the world.
Yeah.
And so my body may be saying that. Now, I might go and I might get educated and get a great degree and, you know, have all of the tools I need to have a great life. And then I might think I'm not working hard enough.
Oh.
So I may have an energy pattern that says you're not working hard enough. You've got to do more. You've got to do more. You've got to do more. Because part of our conditioning in this world, and particularly in the United States, is around doing. And I don't know too many people who don't have a to-do list that's longer than they'll ever accomplish in their lifetime.
Ah. Boy, does that set one up for, I don't know, so some people call that job security, but I think that might not really be helping our peace of mind.
No, not at all. And if you get your value, your self-worth, your identity from what you do, then it's a black hole. You've got to be doing, 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 doing. And if you think about it, people call you and they go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, or someone, you know, my husband would come home from work when he was alive and, you know, what are you doing?
They don't say, how are you being?
Right. What did you do today? And again, I call it living in doo-doo land. We have programs.
Boy, there's the truth.
And so what I teach my clients is, so what is what you're choosing to do in this moment? Because every moment is a choice. Is it moving you closer to your desired end result, or is it moving you further from it? Think about that. Because most of us choose unconsciously. And Robert Fritz, in his book, The Path of Least Resistance, a brilliant book written in the mid-80s, identified the 8 ways that people choose unconsciously. And so it's true. If you think about every moment, everything you're doing, if I sit down in front of the TV set and watch that soap opera, does it move me closer to my desired end result?
Yeah.
Or would it move me closer to my desired end result if I went to that networking luncheon?
Ah.
You see, everything is a choice.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Now, so in making these choices, I'm just wondering, because I notice in your book that you list 7 steps to attraction, and of course what I'm wondering is how our realization that we're making choices, how we can intertwine that with the steps to attracting things that we want in our lives, and why they're important.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned Joe Vitale at the beginning. Can I share a story with you about
please
that?
Please do.
I just love Joe Vitale. He's an amazing man, and I had met him at a program that I attended in Austin that was done by one of those people in his mastermind group. And when I met him, Joe and I talked about a few things, and something was up for him, and in the interest of client confidentiality, I won't share what that was, but something was up for him, and I said, well, you know, we could work on that, we could shift that, and you'd have a different experience. So the testimonial that Joe gave about my work was based on that conversation and the subsequent work that we did together. And he actually went out and bought a car after our session. He bought Francine, which you can read all about on his website. That's a whole other story. But it was really interesting because after the session, now I had what I needed to share with you before I give you the
sure.
What happened was I had always wanted to share the podium with Joe Vitale. I just thought he was an amazing man, and I wanted to be in front of the room at something that he was in front of the room at. And at the end of his session, he said to me, "What can I do for you?" And so I had had this vision about, so I knew where I wanted to go, right? The first step is your inventory. Where do you want to be? And so I knew where I wanted to go. I knew that I wanted to do that. And it was just something that would, and before I could even think about what I was saying, it was out of my mouth. I want to share the podium with you. And I was like, thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what did I just say? And this was about a year ago. Yeah, about a year ago. And he said to me, "Well, then come to Austin. I'm doing a manifestation program in Austin in November. Come and share the podium with me." And I thought, my God, just instantly manifested. And if I had thought about it, I probably would not have said it.
But that was, you said, in your inventory of things. Now, I believe, if I'm getting this, isn't guiding the person to do some inventory stuff part of your book?
Well, it is, and I have what I call a wholeness inventory, and that I call step one of the seven-step process that I teach. And the wholeness inventory is just really tell yourself the truth. Take a look at where you are, what's working, what's not working. Tell yourself the truth, and I find that if you... It's kind of like MapQuest. If I'm going to MapQuest where I want to go in the world, and let's say I want to go to San Francisco, and I put San Diego in as my starting point, but I'm in New York, am I going to get there?
Oh, wow, that won't work very well.
No, so you have to tell yourself the truth. So the purpose of the wholeness inventory is, you know, where are you? Are you trusting your inner knowing? Do you live in negativity? Are you clear? Do you feel connected? Do you feel like you love yourself? Are you peaceful? Are you able to be present? Are you judging others? Or are you, living in that place of the observer where it's, you know, just no judgment about it. It's an observation.
Right. Well, I'm curious because to me it sounds like a good idea to be able to check in so that we can know where we're at. One thing that comes up sometimes is getting past, because it can seem to be pretty confrontive for a person that wants to feel good about themselves and hears spiritual talk that says, well, we are divine, whole, perfect, and complete emanations of God. And there seems to be a bit of a possible dichotomy between I'm divine, whole, perfect, and complete, and wait, here in my inventory indicates I might have some serious issues. Are these two things compatible, or how do I look at both of them at the same time and still feel good about the process?
You know, Ken, that's a great question, because if you think about it, really what are we saying? When we're doing a wholeness inventory, it's really a measure of where I am. How am I feeling now? And if I'm not feeling good now, then I'm not feeling terribly divine and complete.
Ah.
Right? So if I'm not feeling good now, I don't want to focus on what's wrong. I want to focus on what I want. What is my desired end result? It's not if I get this job, then I'll be happy. Happiness is an inside job, and it's a choice. And it can happen right now. You can choose to be happy. We don't need to wait for the job or the relationship or the money or the new car. Those are external reference points.
Oh.
So what we want to do is take the reference point from external to internal and to feel good about ourselves.
Wow. Now, I notice in Chapter 5 of your book, if I've got it correctly, here it looks like page 51, you're asking some questions to a person to notice if we're separated from our divine self. If you find yourself torn between things, are you feeling drained? Are you having regrets? If you do not feel good, are you not feeling good? So these are just some simple things that you list in that book that we can get when we go to www.rockitcoaching.com. So that's kind of what you're helping to give us, like this feedback mechanism to easily check in with ourselves.
Exactly. And you know, I'm so glad you brought that up because I have an exercise that I teach and I would love to share it with you. It doesn't take very long and it's such a beautiful little exercise because we mix up in our culture emotions, which the emotions are the response to a particular situation. We get those all mixed up with feeling. And feeling is the sensory capacity of the body. And as a result of that basic confusion, what happens is we push away what we are feeling or sensing because we feel like we can't handle it.
Mm.
And truly, if something happens at 2 o'clock this afternoon, wherever I happen to be in the world, and I have an emotional response to it, it's over. When it's over. And there's no need to hold on. But we've all been in situations where we've repeated the story or we've been in the grip of emotion. And that is because, you know, crying until you can't, you know, because you can't stop. That's simply because we have mixed up emotion and feeling.
Huh.
And we live in overwhelm. So this little exercise is such a treasure because it teaches us how to use our bodies as a compass. And it's very quick. Are you game to try it?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so what we'll do first, and your listeners can try this too. It's really simple, unless they're driving. If you're driving, please pull over. Don't do this while you're driving. Okay, so what you want to do is just close your eyes for a minute, Ken, and imagine that just focus your attention on your body and how it's feeling. And just imagine that you're at a posh dinner party. And you're being honored. And they have just served you something you wouldn't imagine eating in a million years. And just feel how your body feels. Yummy or yucky?
Ugh.
Yucky, right? Okay, cancel that. Okay, so
okay.
Now imagine another scenario. You're at the same posh dinner party. They've whisked away, you know, ugly entree number one, and they've placed in front of you your favorite food on the planet.
Ugh.
How does your body feel?
Oh, yay, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Feels good.
So it's that expansion, light, happy, up feeling versus that yucky feeling. Now, for some people, it when you use your body as a compass, you may have a neutral feeling, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But so now I want you to think, can you remember a situation, a time that you've regretted?
Yes.
You know, we do this. We ignore our intuition, and we, you know, end up in regret, and we go, you know. So just for a moment, I want you to just call up that moment in time that you were making that choice that you later regretted. Before you made the choice.
Before.
Yeah.
Okay.
The moment that you were choosing that, and what is your body doing, yummy or yucky?
Yucky.
Yeah. Okay, cancel that. And on to a peak experience, something that was so great. You're so glad you did it. It was just great. Got one?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I want you to go back and remember the moment that you made that choice. Yummy or yucky?
Yummy.
So you see, your body's a compass. It'll never fail you. It gave you the clues then, and it'll give you the clues now.
Mm.
And so for everything you're choosing, you can take 5 seconds and drop in and become really conscious. What's my body doing? Is it collapsing? Is it feeling tight? Is it feeling restrictive? Am I breathing? That would be a yucky response. Is it expansive? Is it light? Is it feeling delicious? Is it feeling yummy? That's a yummy response. If it's feeling neutral, it could be a couple of things. It could be that any choice you make will be okay. It could be that you don't have enough clarity about it to make the choice. You might need a little more information. So what I teach my clients is to wait. If it's not clear and, you know, if it's a party, go ahead. Do what you want to do. But I think that most of us live in some regret because we've made choices that have gone against our intuition and we haven't listened. And if you use your body as a compass to navigate your life, things change, and part of that requires being present to what's going on in the body using the sensory capacity, which is not the emotion.
So would you recommend, because it sounds like a simple process that you've described, and I don't know about other people, but sometimes I'm so busy in the process of my life, going from one thing to the next, I have to train myself to do this particular kind of thing of tuning in. You help to guide me to two different situations where there's a definite, clear feeling. Just kind of interested in the process to help condition or train myself to be more present with this, because obviously I've got an inner guidance system here that could save me a whole lot of trouble and mistakes. Wow, I didn't have to pay anyone to get it either.
Yeah,
so,
isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's yours, and everybody has it. So some people, it's a good question, some people have difficulty being present and actually staying present to what the sensory experience that they're having. And that is because remember we talked earlier about the reptilian brain, which is about survival, and sometimes when we're very young, we shut down our capacity to feel. Well, it's a choice. So we can choose to be present and be fully present to what we're sensing in our bodies or what we're feeling. I use different words to describe this because some people say I can't feel, or some people say I feel and it's overwhelming. Well, we're really not talking about that. We're not talking about emotion at all. We're talking about the sensory capacity of the body.
Okay. Do you feel good? If you feel good, that's move ahead. If you don't feel much, if you feel bad in any way, then that's like leave it alone.
Yeah, I say if you feel bad about it, then you're going to have some regret. You're going to be going, oh, why didn't I listen to my intuition? You know, if it doesn't feel good, and that's why my tagline on my website is, if it's not yummy, don't do it. Because if it doesn't feel good, why would you go there? But we do so much, and we talk about this a little bit in the book too, we do so much because we think we should, because we have this notion of how we have to be to survive in the world, because we fear how other people are going to be towards us if we say no to them. Well, you know, we live in our bodies, and only we can be responsible for the choices we make. And the better we take care of ourselves, the more present we can be to others.
Yeah.
So another tool that I give in the book and that I talk with my clients about is looking at every time you say the word, I should. Using the body as a compass, and this goes back to your question about how do I remember to do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just a little starting baby step which says, I'm going to pay attention to every time I use the word should. And the word should is going to be a red flag to use my body as a compass. And I'm going to make my choices in the should category based on body as a compass. And watch things fall off your to-do list.
There's that old saying you've probably heard, don't should on yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's another tool. I mean, people are so overwhelmed and there's not enough time for all of this. How am I going to remember to do this? Well, use one word. Choose to use one word. Have an intention to be aware of every time I say that word, should.
Now, help me to sort through something. Because a person has responsibilities in their life, and those, for many people, have fallen into the category of should. I should or I have to kind of things. And I'm just wondering, I don't know if in your process we can change some of our conditioning so that things where we can be responsible, we can be responsible in a way that is yummy, that feels great to do that. I mean, because most people, if you ask them, is it fun to pay the rent or your mortgage, they laugh at you.
That's an interesting point. And there, I love some of what Eckhart Tolle teaches in his books, and his book, A New Earth, is about genius. And he talks about whatever you're doing, just bring the best of you to it. Now, no one expects you to love paying the rent, but maybe you should love paying the rent because you're grateful for how great, and I use the should word, but maybe you'd like to be happy about paying the rent, or you'd like to love paying the rent. And the reason is because maybe you're grateful because you live in such a great place. Maybe you feel very, very blessed because it's a fabulous neighborhood and it's a great place to raise your children. Maybe you feel very happy that you have a peaceful and safe home and a wonderful environment. And so I think that for everything, okay, I don't love sitting down and writing out bills, but if I can bring the best of me to this and say, thank heavens I have money in the bank that I can pay my bills. Everything's a viewpoint and a reframing. And if we can, again, keep our attention and focus on our desired end result. Instead of being distracted by the work of life, then work becomes play, and everything becomes play, and it becomes fun. Because remember, we said earlier that you're choosing in every moment how you're going to be. So I can sit down and have a terrible time writing out my bills, or I can sit down and say, I'm going to write out my bills now, and write out my bills. And how I choose to be is going to color how I feel.
Okay. Now, is this things that you're talking about part of perhaps breaking conditioning or part of this consciousness shifting that that you use in your rocket method?
Well, it's actually... It's both. In the book will absolutely shift consciousness because awareness always precedes change. Then the consciousness shifting process is a process that actually looks for those things we have resonance with. And by resonance, it's what our body agrees with. Have you ever had muscle testing, Ken?
Yes.
So you know how when someone does your muscle checking or muscle testing or kinesiology, for most people who do it, I think strong indicates resonance and indicates the body's agreement.
Yes.
And weakness would indicate non-resonance or disagreement of the body.
Okay.
And so what happens is that we can use muscle checking or kinesiology, muscle testing, whatever you want to call it. We can use that to find resonance in a person's body. So let's say we have someone who is saying, I want a new car, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, we could test them. And we could test them for resonance with, I want a new car. If they had a thought that followed, I want a new car, but I can't afford it, you can see that these are two opposing intentions.
Right.
And so it would be very likely that if they were thinking, I want a new car, but I can't afford it, that when you muscle checked them for resonance with their intention, the body would go weak.
Inner conflict,
exactly.
Okay.
And so what we want to do is we want the resonance of the body to match where you're going, what your desired end result is.
Ooh.
And so the consciousness shifting process is a process that finds those conflicts and cancels them, erases them, if you will. And it can also find the programming that we've gotten, the coding that we've gotten. For example, in America, shopping is reconnecting with life. And if you think about it, you think about all of these home shopping different channels and infomercials and the malls and all the people that are in the malls. And I mean, I can't tell you the last time I was in a mall. I just don't go there. I don't do that. But I'm not coded that way anymore. I used to be shopping all the time. I don't do that anymore because shopping used to give me something I thought I was missing or I felt that it was missing. It was like another example is needs. Needs drive behavior. And so if you think about, we've all been around a person who's needed to be heard, and we've heard the story, the same thing over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Have you had that experience, Ken?
Yes.
So, you know, they tell you the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you're like, I heard them the first time, and this is the 17th time, and I'm bored already. Well, this is a person who's wiring, if you will, conditioning, coding, whatever you want to call it. They're wiring on a cellular level. Their resonance is with a need to be heard. And what Thomas Leonard used to teach years ago was, okay, if you know you have a need to be heard, then you need to tell everybody in your circle of influence that you have a need to be heard and how you know you'll be heard so that they can then let you know you've been heard. Well, that's a lot of work. We can erase it.
Yes. How?
With a consciousness shifting process. It's just a simple process that I've taught lots of people how to do, and it's really about getting out of your own way so we can erase it. So can you think of something? Do you want an example of it? Do you want a sample of it?
Oh, sure.
Can you think of anything that is a driver for you in terms of a need? Just something like, you know, have you ever... It's an interesting thing. We all have them, like need to be understood, need to be heard, need to be valued.
Okay, yeah, all right. So, you know, a certain behavior pattern.
Right.
Okay. Yes, well, I know I have some caretaker tendencies.
Need to caretake.
Yeah.
Need to rescue.
Uh-huh. Yeah, how you doing there, by the way? No.
Okay, so I'm doing great, thanks. Okay, so...
I'm out of a job.
No. May I muscle check on your behalf? Because we're all one.
Yes, please.
And with your permission, I can access the innate intelligence.
Okay.
So this would be an optimal demonstration of consciousness shifting. Yeah, something else would be better. Now, and this will be great because it will also illustrate how to be present to the sensory experience that you have during a shift, which can sometimes be a little, feel a little overwhelming, but it really is not. It's just, again, another reframe. So, Ken, what I'd like to do is just ask you for a moment, just to close your eyes, and just say for me, I need to rescue others.
I need to rescue others.
Yeah, we need to go deeper, something else. No. Okay, and say, I need to take care of others.
I need to take care of others.
Yeah. Okay, and you have resonance in your body with both of those things. And if you don't take care of others, what would that say about you if you don't rescue others?
It's about that I don't have value.
Right. So my value comes from rescuing and caretaking.
Yes.
Okay, now close your eyes, and I think you're going to find some energy around your heart and throat in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And just all I want you to do is just place all of your attention on what you're sensing in your body right now. Just place your attention there, and as you're doing that, I'm applying the consciousness shifting process to just change the resonance with needing to caretake, needing to rescue, and that is where your value comes from. And how are you doing in there?
Wow. I noticed a an easing up, especially in the throat area.
Uh-huh. So just close your eyes and scan your body and see if there's any energy still in your body calling for your attention.
Around the navel area?
Mm-hmm. So just place all of your attention there for just a moment. There's a universal law that says energy flows where attention goes. So
okay.
Just place all of your attention there, all of your awareness there for a moment. And how is that feeling now?
Calmer.
Calmer. Is there still a little energy there?
A little.
Yeah. Okay, so just, again, keep your awareness on that. And as you're doing that, just check the rest of your body and notice, is there any energy anywhere else that's speaking to you? It's feeling pretty clear to me.
What a difference.
Yeah, so say for me, I need to caretake.
I need to caretake.
No. So I get my value from caretaking others.
I get my value from caretaking others.
No. Say I, what was the other one? I need to rescue.
I need to rescue.
No. Okay, so we need a state of being. Now this is, okay, so that's a very simple example of changing resonance. And you feel a little different, don't you?
Yes.
And it's really, it's just an upgrade because now you're a choice. You can rescue as much as you want to, and you can caretake others as much as you want to, but you will no longer be driven to do that.
Lightening the load.
Yeah, and anyone listening to this call who would do that themselves, just pretend they're in real time that they're the person getting the session instead of you, will have, if they have resonance with that, they will have the same shift.
Oh.
So it's really interesting. We call it borrowed benefits. But it's true that if someone resonates with that and they've got that kind of thing going on in them, then they can actually receive benefits simply by having the experience of listening to your session and then being present in their body to any energy that they have.
Oh, and even if their energy was in a different place, they could still have a benefit, this borrowed benefit, and create a shift could be happen within them?
Absolutely. And again, the energy flows where attention goes. So for you, it was in your throat and around your solar plexus area. For someone else, it might be in their eyes, or it might even be in their field. It doesn't really matter so much where it is. What it matters is that we place our attention on it and stay present to it. And if it moves, you move with it. And if it lifts and goes away, then just scan your body and see if there's still something there.
And so the change is accomplished from that act of being present with it?
That's part of it. And then the other part of that in this particular situation was shifting the resonance.
Okay. And
which
that's
was done by the consciousness shifting process. And that's something that I can do, or my coaches, the coaches I've trained can do.
People that you've trained. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on to ROCKITCOAH coaching, COACHING, rocketcoaching.com, and get a list of how to reach you or your practitioners. Wow, that's great.
Cool.
Oh.
Now, isn't it? So I'm glad we had an opportunity to share that with you.
Yeah. And so we can turn to you and your team, and I guess I'm wondering if other people are interested in learning this. How do they go about learning this? Because this has created a positive shift for myself, and boy, was this easy.
It is easy. I love to say it's not rocket science. It's about going within and and really starting to love and appreciate the value that each of us has. And I created, I had a lot of people who wanted to learn to do this, and so we created a teleclass program and weekend workshops that are called Reinventing Yourself. And those programs are basically designed to be a giant eraser on the blackboard of your life, if you will, to take away a lot of this, the conditioning and coding and that sort of thing. Just get rid of everything? No. I mean, we've lived on the planet for however many years old we are, and we carry generational information in our DNA from our families and ancestors. And then if you believe in past lives, you may have past life energy in there, too. So all of that is, you know, contributes to who we are and how we are in the world. But my view is that we each have a unique purpose. We each have a reason for being here. We each have something to share that only can come through us. And we need to make a fundamental core-level decision to be the creative force in our life. So the Reinventing Yourself program is about that. It's about really cleaning the slate and creating an environment that supports people in learning how to be aligned with what is their birthright, different from the way we normally are in the world. And it really changes things. And then for those who want to learn how to do the consciousness shifting, once they've completed that program, they can go through the mastery program and learn. And
okay, so you start with the Reinventing Yourself by changing the code program.
Yeah, we used to do it the other way around, and what happened was we realized that people learned consciousness shifting much faster if they'd been through the other program.
Oh.
And it was much easier for us to teach it. And so in the interest of working smarter and, you know, having less time on the phone with people and less expense to doing these things, we switched it around and said you have to do the reinventing, because that's the fundamental program that gets rid of all of the programming and coding that we know of.
Okay. Now, is that similar or different than the you have a program, Database Freedom Weekend?
Right. Now, that's just the databases, or what we also would call the collection of coding. What that is it's a weekend, and we also do that by teleclass sometimes with people that we have asked us to do that for them. And that basically looks at the religious coding. There's some, you know, the idea that there's something fundamentally wrong with you. And all of the things that you would get from religion, from education, you know, which starts us very, very early feeling bad about ourselves as we get report cards and graded and compared to others. And then the parental modeling and conditioning of, you know, bad boy, bad girl, you know, that kind of, you know, you have to work hard, you need to go to college, all of that sort of thing. So all of those kinds of things that we grew up with, the cultural coding. I know when I work in the UK, they have a saying, well, you can't do that here. And when I work in Hawaii, it's different. So the cultural coding can be different depending on where you are. What we're looking are at big general categories of coding and conditioning that we can erase using the consciousness shifting program and process.
Oh, okay.
And we can do that over a series of teleclasses. That database work is included in the reinventing program.
Mm.
So it's part and parcel of that larger program.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So when you do the Reinventing Yourself by Changing the Code program, you also get the Database Freedom.
Uh-huh. They get all of that.
And then that opens the pathway. If someone wanted to do further work with this, the Consciousness Shifting Mastery program, which then qualifies someone to actually be part of your team.
Right, exactly.
Oh.
And, you know, and it's interesting. We view consciousness shifting as a tool. I use it from a coaching perspective and from a workshop perspective, but it's really a tool. And I have a person who's gone through my training who's a feng shui professional, and she uses it as a way to get her feng shui clients clear on what it is they really want. I have another person who went through the program who uses it in her work with corporate clients, and her field of expertise is various corporate assessments. So she does 360s and these different types of assessments corporations use. And so she uses it as a process after the assessments are done to help the people who have been assessed build in the areas of weakness and strengthen the areas of strength.
Ah.
So it's really interesting. I have another person who we've trained who's a fitness professional, and so she uses it to help people with their fitness goals and their posture. And so it can be used as a standalone process, but it also can be used in conjunction or collaboration with other things. And we're creating a program now to work with people in the direct marketing and network marketing industries to help them, you know, when you're really passionate about a program or something that you're selling, then it's a whole other thing to be able to express that passion and to do it in a way that you can be non-attached to whether people buy or not.
Oh.
That if they buy from you, it does, or don't buy from you, it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Oh, that's fabulous. I wish we had a whole other hour to continue. Karen, this has been wonderful.
Thank you, folks,
that we've had Dr. Karen Visor of www.rockitcoaching.com is our guest today. I want to thank you, Karen, and thank you, beloved listeners, for tuning in to learn something wonderful for yourselves, and invite you to take advantage of the gifts that Karen has to offer, and wish you, Karen, and all of the rest a wonderful, blessed week until we meet again. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Ken.
You're welcome.
Lovely being here.
Oh, God bless, and goodbye for now.
Let's go, Anna.